We open sacred scripture this afternoon to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8. And we'll read the whole chapter. This is the word of God. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint, brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. On the basis of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and various other passages of Scripture is the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50, which is the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures, and place it alone in Thee. Do we live lives of contentment? To live a life of contentment means to have a mind and a heart that are at peace with our circumstances. It means not wringing our hands with worry over the future. It means not burning with jealousy over the things that other people possess that we do not possess. It means not giving in to the temptation to go after all the pleasures of this life that could be ours if we were to leave the church. And it means rejoicing in whatever it is that God has seen fit to give to you and to me in our present circumstances. This Lord's Day forces us into a self-evaluation on these points, because it has to do with the material things that we possess. It makes very plain, Lord's Day 50 does, that whatever we have, be it much or little, we have from the hand of God. And if that's true, that means that God has seen fit to give me only these things, and not everything else. So where's your heart and where is my heart today? Is it at peace with present circumstances? Do we have the desire to pray for great luxury, for ease, and all the rest? Or is our prayer the simple prayer, today and every day, give me daily bread? That's it. We use Deuteronomy 8 in connection with Lord's Day 50. This book, Deuteronomy, is the final message of Moses to the people of Israel before they enter into Canaan. They are on the verge of obtaining that promised land that they have been striving for so long. They've come through that 40 years of wilderness wandering, preserved by God. That wandering that He sent in judgment for their sins, their lack of faith, lack of trust. And in chapter 8, there are especially two very important features to take note of. On the one hand, there is a recounting of Israel's history and God's provision in the history of Israel, as well as a promise of continued provision as they move forward into Canaan. But then, secondly, there's a warning. A warning against pride. And in pride, turning away from God after other gods. That makes this a fitting passage of Scripture to use in connection with Lord's Day 50. God has provided us much. And we, all of us, need the warning. We need the warning against pride and the reminder that we did not get these things that we have for ourselves. And even the reminder that although we have a great deal, yet still the calling is every day to continue to pray for daily bread. But we also need to see today what God says through Moses in verse 3. That at any moment, He can take it all. He can suffer or allow thee to hunger, as verse 3 says. He can cause us to hunger
in an instant, God can take it all away. Health, money, food, everything. And when He does, if it were to happen, what will we say?
Will our response be, God, please give those things back. I could really use those things right now. And I would much appreciate the return of them. The only appropriate response is humbly to confess the goodness of God and humbly to ask for daily bread and nothing more. Prayer that God give daily bread is the theme for the sermon. 3 points: what such prayer is, the humbling effect, and our thankful response. Daily bread is the topic of this sermon and the topic of Lord's Day 50. Not spiritual bread. We need to get that before our minds right away. This Lord's Day does not have in mind, and it is not referring to our spiritual meat and drink. Now, to be sure, we are to pray for those things. It's good that we desire those things. It's good to long for satisfaction spiritually and to be filled spiritually. And to be sure, we do absolutely need, desperately need, the living bread, our Lord Jesus Christ. Make no mistake. These things are necessary. But the focus in Lord's Day 50 is not this. It is physical bread. We should not always look to spiritualize everything. Some people have the tendency and the desire to do that. And from a certain point of view, we can recognize that that's good. It's a good thing to want to see the spiritual side of things. To have that perspective is a good desire insofar as it comes out of a genuine piety and not a false piety that masks pride. It's a good thing. But when we have occasion to address our earthly existence, we should not lose the opportunity and shy away from it. When God speaks to us about our physical needs and life in this world as His people, as human beings, then we should not try to be wiser than God is by changing His words or overly spiritualizing that which He tells us. We should humbly, thankfully, take His wise counsel to heart. And that, on the basis of Deuteronomy 8 and various other passages of Scripture, along with the Lord's Prayer itself, of course, is exactly what Lord's Day 50 seeks to do. To take the wise counsel of God relating to earthly things, personal possessions, food and drink, and apply it to our hearts. So, physical needs. Bread is used as a figure of speech in this passage and in this Lord's Day. It is a figure of speech that we know as part for the whole. Part for the whole. It's one important thing that stands in for all the rest and is one word that is used to apply to all of them so that it represents more than just itself, bread, but all that which can be considered a physical need. So that the Lord's Day is on target when it says this, which is the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. That's exactly what that means. Everything that is needful for our bodies is what is meant when Jesus says, pray, give us this day our daily bread. So that we can broaden this out to all of the other physical needs as well. Food and water, to be sure.
what's needed to give energy and to provide the nutrients to sustain physical life. Warmth and shelter and clothing, the things that we need to protect us from the elements. And if we were living in a hotter climate, shade and things of that nature. Protection for our physical bodies. Transportation, a way of getting from point A to point B, a way of getting to work every day, a way of getting to church on Sunday, and all the rest. But note well, the Lord's Day specifically mentions that which is necessary for the body. There is a reason that Jesus uses the word bread as his part for the whole. From a certain perspective, he could have used any food if the goal was simply a part for the whole figure of speech. He could have used any food to stand in for all food and to stand in for all physical needs. But he did not. With good reason, he used the word bread. It's fitting exactly because it is so basic. A simple form of nourishment, a staple of life. And what that teaches us, among other things, is that we are not permitted to ask God for our daily steak dinner, or for our daily serving of caviar, or fill in the blank with whatever other exotic or expensive dish you might desire. We are not permitted to ask for a supercar. We are not permitted to ask for designer clothing filling up several closets. What fills our basic needs and nothing more, that is what is permissible for us to ask for. Deuteronomy 8 speaks to these things. We read this in verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. God gave to Israel manna, a very basic form of food for physical sustenance. He did not give them all the riches and all the delicacies that they had had access to while they were still in Egypt. So that, they complained about that at various points and said, we wish we could go back to Egypt where we had plenty to eat and all sorts of different foods to eat. God was teaching them, basic needs are what I provide. Verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. God provided them with clothing, and by a miracle, he prevented that clothing from wearing out for the entire duration of their wilderness wanderings. And then he gave them also physical health, so that their feet did not swell up during those wanderings. Verses 7 through 9 are important too. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. God was saying, I am leading you unto a good land, a pleasant land. And he illustrates that by showing that it was a land of bountiful provision, and especially of food. A land of plenty regarding their physical needs. That is what we are talking about when we speak of daily bread. But notice that it is daily bread. We are speaking here about a daily allotment, what is needful for the day and no more. What is a fitting portion for now? Enough food for this day, not in excess of the food that is necessary. And concerning this, we pray that God would give. That is what Jesus taught us to say. Give us this day our daily bread. And we need to remember in that connection that God is a God of means. For that reason, prayer for daily bread is a prayer for God's use of the various people and processes and industries that get the daily bread to us. But God is still the one who provides, so that when we have need of physical food, we do not ask the wheat farmer for daily bread. And when we have need of transportation, we do not ask Ford Motor Company for daily bread. We ask God and God alone. It's a recognition that this stuff, these things, have to come to us from somewhere else, and in fact, from someone else. We pray that He would continue to provide. And that comes out in Jesus' wording in giving this petition of the prayer in Luke 11. Because in Luke 11, He uses a specific form of the word give that points to continued giving. So that this is recognition that at no point do I supplant God. Do I graduate from this? Do I get to where I can supply these things on my own? All throughout this day, O Father, give. That's the prayer that we are to be making. And notice that it is prayer to Father, to our Heavenly Father. We can pray that with confidence that He will give it, because of what Jesus says in Matthew 7. You recall that Jesus speaks during the Sermon on the Mount at one point about fathers providing for their sons their needs. And then He says, "How much more would not God provide for your needs, who is your Heavenly Father?" But this is what He says. "Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" The illustration that He gives is of a child asking for food, asking for physical needs to be supplied. How much more will not your Heavenly Father give those things that you have need of, He says. As we confessed in Lord's Day 46, we may expect everything that is necessary, including the needs of the body, from His almighty power. And we pray that He would be pleased to provide. That's what the Catechism says. Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary. We pray even then that God would give these things to supply our needs with a sense of His pleasure. Now, to be sure, God is pleased to give things to the wicked as well, but in a very different sense. There, He gives in such a way that He is glorified in the filling of His cup of wrath because of what the wicked do with these things. But with us, it is different. He is pleased with a genuine favor toward us as He gives these things. He does them, He gives these things with a disposition of love. And that too is part of the significance of making this prayer to our Heavenly Father. The fact that He supplies the needs gives to us confidence of Father's love. He looks on us well pleased as He gives them. And don't forget that Jesus tells us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." That does speak to prayer for necessities, as we saw with daily bread. But there's something else to be noted here. Only enough for this day. Think of Israel and the manna. God commanded them to go out and to gather the manna each individual day, and only enough for that day. The only exception, of course, being on Friday, when they could gather twice as much so that they would not have to do it on the Sabbath. They could only gather for that day. And if they took more, it would spoil. He was teaching them utter reliance upon Him. So Jesus is instructing us not to worry about where the next meal will come from. He's instructing us not to worry about when we will be able to get our next set of clothing. He's instructing us not to worry about if the car is going to be fixable this time. We're not to pray about tomorrow. We're certainly not to complain about yesterday's provision. And we're also not to pray about 10 years from now when the children are grown older. It is good to pray about the future, to be sure, to ask God to be with us, to commit the future to Him. But we are not to be worried about that future, which is expressed for us so beautifully in those well-known words of Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We pray for our daily bread today, for the most basic needs being met and no more. To be sure, God very often gives far beyond that point of that which is strictly needed. For most of us, if not all of us, He has done that for years, given far more than what we actually need. And that comes with a danger. Deuteronomy 8 makes that very plain in verses 11 and following. God warns the people, when you come into the land and you have eaten and are full and you have plenty, take heed, beware, that you forsake not your God. We need that warning because God does very often supply far more than what we need. But what about when He doesn't? What if you unexpectedly lose your job? And in a single day, you go from having a comfortable way of life, a comfortable life situation, with good prospects for the future, to being totally without income, absolutely none, and having several mouths to feed. What if you live to see the end of days when you will not be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast? Will we be faithful even then to pray only for daily bread? And will we be content if that is actually all that we receive? Only enough for this day and nothing more. We are permitted to pray, then, for the basic needs of today. So regarding food and drink, we are permitted to pray for sufficient bread and water to get me through this workday, to get me through this school day, to get me through this day in the home, and not more than that. Regarding work, we are permitted to pray for a job that pays me just enough to get by and to support myself and my family, even if it's a job that is very unglamorous, working as a garbage man or flipping burgers at a fast food place or what have you. Only that which is absolutely needed. Regarding transportation, we are to pray for that which is needed, for a running vehicle that will get me from point A to point B, or even perhaps just enough strength to be able to walk the distance that is needed if church and home and work are in walking distance. And we pray for these physical needs for a particular reason. There is a very important reason why this is the first of the petitions that deal with self. Not because it is the most important of them. Not because it's more important than spiritual needs. But we pray for these physical needs so that we can continue to serve God spiritually and to serve Christ. Prayer is thanksgiving. Remember, we are thankful for that which God has given us. We are thankful especially for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And so we ask for these things in order to be able to keep on showing thanks, even by doing the sorts of things that we have already prayed for earlier in the Lord's Prayer, so that we pray for daily bread, so that we can then hallow God's name. And we pray for daily bread, so that we can then live as those who have King Jesus ruling in our hearts. And we pray for daily bread, so that we can then submit to God's perfect will. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. And that prayer has a humbling effect, a twofold humbling effect, which is the middle part of the Lord's Day, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, as James 1:17 states, which makes Him the fountain of all forms of good. They all flow forth from Him. He is the source of them all. They all bubble up, as it were, from our God. And that is true of all good, says Lord's Day 50. It doesn't matter what form it might take, and it takes many forms, it comes from God. So it's not to be found elsewhere. God alone gives. And all categories of our physical needs can be included. Bread, food, and water, to be sure, are included here, but all of the rest as well are part of God's provision as the fountain of all good. Lord's Day 50 mentions that He is the only fountain. There are no others. And it also says that we acknowledge this, which tells us He is. Whether anybody acknowledges it or not, God is the only fountain of all good. Prayer for daily bread and having God answer that prayer by supplying our daily bread leads us to acknowledge that He is this only fountain of all good. His provision causes us to see that we cannot provide. And He opens our blind eyes so that we see that I did not do this. I did not provide these things for myself, and I can't. Deuteronomy 8 speaks to that as well. Verses 2, 3, and 16 have something in common. Listen for it. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee and that He might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Did you catch what's in all three of those verses? God did this to humble Israel. They were proud. They needed to be humbled. By providing manna, He humbled them because He showed in that way that He is the only fountain of every good. And He led them to acknowledge that that is true. Other verses of the chapter, verses 11, 14, and 17, especially warn us against thinking that we have provided these things for ourselves. And then there's verse 18, which says, Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. God gives the power to obtain wealth, to obtain possessions. God alone supplies that power. And in Christ, God shows Himself to be this God of all the goods, the God who is the overflowing fountain of all goods. Because Christ is the one who, Ephesians 4:8, gives gifts unto men, having ascended. Now, to be sure, Ephesians 4:8 refers specifically to spiritual gifts. But surely the same thing is true with regard to physical. And we can be sure of getting those physical gifts from God and from Christ because we also have the greatest spiritual gift in Christ. because He went so far as to give Himself on the tree of the cross for us and for our salvation, securing our highest spiritual good, we may be sure that He will also give Himself fully to give us all of our physical needs too. That's humbling. The humbling effect. We cannot supply our own needs, and we're led to acknowledge that God gives to supply us, that He supplies all things, and that He alone supplies those needs, which is a needed reminder for us exactly because of our pride. Like Israel, we need to be humbled. We tend to think that some things can be gotten in our own strength, so that we might say, yes, my health comes from God, but my house, that's my strength, because I built that house. And in fact, that was exactly what God warned Israel against in verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and all the rest. We cannot divide things up in this way, as though there are some things that God provides and there are other things that I provide myself. That is not the way it works. All of it comes from God. Remember verse 18. It is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. The very power to obtain possessions comes from God alone. So stop trying to find what is needed in some other fountain. There is none other who supplies good. The other part of the humble effect is acknowledging that everything is profitless without the blessing of God. God can give all sorts of good things, all sorts of good gifts. He might give you more money than you could ever have imagined having. He might give you all sorts of food stocked up for the future. He might supply you with good health and with long life. And He might give you the ability to work very, very hard and to work long hours, what the Catechism refers to, with our care and industry. You might have a great deal of care and industry. But if these things come without God's blessing, then they only come with God's disfavor. And they are of no profit. If the money that God gives is not blessed by God, then what profit is it really? If you have lots of food stored up, but God doesn't give His blessing on that, what good is it really? If you live many years in good health, but God doesn't join His blessing to that health, what are you really living for? And if you work very, very hard, you exercise all sorts of care and industry, and you accomplish a great deal. You get a lot done. But God doesn't shine His blessing on that. What's the point? And just like with the former, this is true, whether people acknowledge it or not. Everything is profitless without God's blessing. That's true, regardless of whether we acknowledge it. But prayer for daily bread and receiving our daily bread leads us to do exactly that, to acknowledge that this is so. We're led to see that it is utterly pointless to have all of these gifts and consider them ends in themselves. We're led to see that it is utterly pointless to spend ourselves entirely, working extremely hard as an end in itself. And Scripture speaks to these things as well. Deuteronomy 8:3 teaches us that we don't live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Even the gift of food, then, has no profit, except it come with the blessing of God. But God does give the blessing to those who seek it. And importantly, the blessing comes through Jesus Christ, His Son, because He is the great high priest And in the Old Testament era, the priests would lift their hands and bless the people after having offered sacrifice. So too with Jesus, as the great high priest, offering himself as the great sacrifice and then immediately turning to bless us, his people. So ask yourself the question, what does this money, what does this job, what does this food, what does this 70-hour work week, or whatever else, profit? If it's blessed by God, it profits a great deal. If it's not, it profits nothing. And that too is humbling. The humbling effect of prayer for daily bread is recognition that we can't do it on our own. All of our greatest efforts are nothing without the blessing of God. God said in Deuteronomy 8 that He was, by giving them manna, working to humble Israel. And in fact, He caused them to hunger, verse 3 tells us, so that they would be led to acknowledge Him, led to turn in confession, confessing that nothing, not even those delicious foods of Egypt, came to them by their own working, and none of it would provide blessing but for the blessing of God. So stop relying on self, on your own care and industry, because it is nothing without the blessing of the Lord. All of this leads to a further thankful response, which is where the catechism ends. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. When we see all this, we take all of our trust out of earthly things. We no longer trust in self. We no longer trust in family, in our parents or in our children. We no longer trust the government to supply our needs or whatever else. God's answer to our prayer for daily bread, which He provides, makes us want to give thanks to Him. So we rely entirely on Him. This is thanksgiving for all of His provision. The good gifts that He has given are worthy of our expressing thanks unto Him. Deuteronomy 8:10 says this, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. In response to all that God has given, like Israel was commanded to do, so we respond in thanksgiving. We bless the Lord our God. And notice that what's after that, immediately after that in Deuteronomy 8, is a warning against turning away in pride on account of these gifts. Take your trust out of self and out of these things and place it in God alone, who is the only object of trust. It goes hand in hand with His being the only fountain of all good. If no one else provides these good gifts besides that only fountain, why would we put our trust in anyone or anything else? The implication of the language of the Catechism is that we have been putting our hearts upon other things. We have put our trust in self and in government and in family, in parents or in children. That's convicting to us. And that's to say that we've turned aside from God and we've turned unto idols, just as Israel was warned against doing. So the calling that we all have is to do exactly this, to turn from our wrong trust and to place our trust exclusively in our God and in the Lord Jesus Christ again. Why would we want it to be anywhere else?
We've seen God's great goodness in providing our daily bread. And we continue to grow in our understanding of the fact that He is the only fountain of all good. If we're going to heed that call and to continue to place our trust in God alone, then we must pray that God would give us our daily bread. That's why the Catechism has the word therefore in that final expression. Therefore, that we may withdraw our trust. In light of all the things we've been considering, withdrawing our trust from others and placing it in God alone. So in order to do that, we must first pray for the grace to ask for daily bread, and then we must pray for daily bread. Let's do that now. Amen.